discussão, de debater e buscar caminhos para que a internet seja instrumental na consecução dos princípios e compromissos contidos na chamada Agenda de Tunis, que preconizam uma sociedade da informação que seja inclusiva, centrada na pessoa e orientada para o desenvolvimento. O acesso e uso eficaz da internet e das tecnologias da informação pela sociedade são hoje fatores essenciais para a competitividade e o desenvolvimento das nações. Esses instrumentos constituem a base de um novo paradigma da organização social, a chamada sociedade da informação, contribuindo significativamente para o desenvolvimento social, econômico e cultural dos povos. A internet tem um grande potencial de promover a parceria global para o desenvolvimento preconizado pelas metas do milênio. No entanto, para o seu pleno funcionamento como um ambiente de comunicação global, a internet requer a participação de todos os povos. Suas características básicas, sua essência é a cooperação, o acordo de todos no uso de um protocolo comum de comunicação, na permissão de interconexão entre redes regionais, formando a rede das redes, e no compartilhamento de informações e conteúdos. Sem esse espírito de compartilhamento, de conectividade e de apoio mútuo, a internet perde sua força de agregação e de promoção do desenvolvimento global. Ela perde a oportunidade de se transformar num ambiente natural da comunicação entre as nações, o meio de suporte da convergência de tecnologias e serviço de informação e comunicação. Enfim, sem a participação e cooperação de todos, ela deixa de ser confiável e estável. Portanto, defendemos uma governança da internet que seja representativa e equilibrada, com relação tanto aos diversos países e regiões, como aos distintos setores da sociedade. Defendemos uma governança que não seja atrelada ao governo de qualquer país em particular. O tratamento equânime de todas as nações é uma condição necessária para que haja uma confiança global em seu funcionamento e, portanto, para a sustentabilidade da internet. Apesar de sua origem localizada, decorrente da apropriação da rede ARPANET pela comunidade científica, inicialmente nos Estados Unidos da América e, posteriormente, em âmbito mundial, a internet é o resultado de muitas contribuições revolucionárias de vários indivíduos e entidades de distintas nacionalidades, alguns dos quais presentes a esta reunião. Com o advento de navegadores eficazes e da WWW, a internet se confundiu em todos os setores da sociedade, em todos os países. Ela passou a ser um instrumento utilizado por todos para a troca de mensagens, para o acesso à informação, facilitadas por eficientes buscadores, para a educação à distância, para o comércio eletrônico, para o governo eletrônico, enfim, o meio pelo qual as pessoas, entidades, empresas e governos usam para se comunicar, para cooperar e fazer transações comerciais e financeiras. Assim, a internet é, por um lado, essencial para o crescimento de indivíduos e nações e, por outro, requer a participação e cooperação de todos. Ela é um bem de interesse público e universal. Como tal, sua governança deve pautar-se pelo bem público, centrada no desenvolvimento da pessoa humana e na construção de uma sociedade mais justa em todo o planeta. A educação é hoje largamente reconhecida como fundamental para o desenvolvimento das pessoas e das nações. Portanto, sua universalização é preconizada por todos. O mesmo reconhecimento deve ser dado ao acesso eficaz à internet e às tecnologias da informação, devendo a universalização desse acesso ser um objetivo com alta prioridade e sem exclusões. O hiato digital hoje existente deve ser eliminado, pois é um fator de aumento da disparidade no grau de desenvolvimento dos países, com consequências que sabemos ser trágicas para todo mundo. A inclusão digital deve ser um objetivo de todos, porque é essencial à criação de um mundo mais justo e harmonioso. Os países desenvolvidos, nos quais grande parte da população dispõe de computadores com acesso à internet, devem contribuir para os programas de inclusão dos países pobres. E os países em desenvolvimento devem intensificar seus esforços para ampliar o uso de computadores pela população e a penetração da internet. No Brasil, o governo do presidente Lula está fazendo um grande progresso nesse campo. O programa PC para Todos resultou numa enorme diminuição do preço dos computadores pessoais, possibilitando sua aquisição por famílias com menor renda e uma grande ampliação desse mercado. Neste ano de 2007, serão fabricados no país cerca de 10 milhões de computadores pessoais. Está em curso um programa de inclusão digital, cuja meta é fazer com que no ano de 2010, o último ano do governo do presidente Lula, todas 140 mil escolas públicas tenham acesso à internet, a maioria em banda larga. Neste Fórum do Rio de Janeiro, além dos quatro temas fundamentais debatidos no primeiro IGF em Atenas, acesso, diversidade, abertura e segurança, será discutido um tema vital da internet, o da administração de seus recursos críticos. Consideramos da maior importância que se faça uma discussão sobre como os recursos críticos da internet, dentre os quais a administração de números e nomes de domínio, devam ser administrados de forma a se ter coerência com os princípios de Tunis. A governança da internet deve ser estruturada para atender este requisito, mas com o cuidado em não comprometer sua funcionalidade e eficácia na solução rápida de questões emergentes, necessárias à manutenção do grande dinamismo que tem caracterizado o desenvolvimento da internet. Além dos recursos críticos, serão tratados também pela primeira vez na IGF os assuntos emergentes como política de incentivo à concorrência e à produção de conteúdo. Assegurar o acesso ao conhecimento deve ser uma das metas a serem atingidas. Nesse sentido, a agenda de Tunis sobre valorizar e reconhecer o papel que deve ser desempenhado pelos padrões abertos e pelos esquemas alternativos de financiamento na promoção da inclusão digital e na construção de um ambiente virtual, colaborativo e favorável ao desenvolvimento. Na discussão do respeito aos direitos e liberdades fundamentais no ambiente digital, fundamental para a construção de uma sociedade da informação livre e democrática, vemos com interesse o debate sobre uma Carta de Direitos na Internet. A Agenda para o Desenvolvimento, aprovada pela Assembleia Geral das Nações Unidas, da Organização Mundial da Propriedade Intelectual, realizada em outubro deste ano, é uma plataforma conceitual inovadora que deverá servir de guia ao debate da propriedade intelectual, orientando-a para o objetivo primordial do desenvolvimento. A segurança é, sem dúvida, uma preocupação e um desafio de todos e um tema que deve ser tratado com intensidade, sendo uma condição necessária para a estabilidade e o crescimento da internet. Respeitados os direitos fundamentais da pessoa humana, incluindo a liberdade de expressão, evitando-se os controles abusivos que restringam tais direitos e limitem o fluxo de informações. Devemos apoiar os mecanismos de combate ao crime cibernético, particularmente na defesa da infância contra abusos e exploração sexual. O respeito aos direitos fundamentais da internet não poderá ser assegurado sem acesso ao conhecimento. Nesse sentido, a Agenda de Tunis soube valorizar e reconhecer o papel que deve ser desempenhado pelos padrões abertos, pelos esquemas alternativos de licenciamento e pelo software livre, em particular na promoção da inclusão digital e na construção de um ambiente virtual colaborativo e favorável ao desenvolvimento. Senhoras e senhores, o Brasil permanece comprometido com a agenda de Tunis e com a implementação dos compromissos assumidos na Cúpula Mundial sobre a Sociedade da Informação. O Comitê Gestor da Internet do Brasil é uma experiência nacional exitosa na administração de nomes de domínio nacional. O Comitê Gestor do Brasil é integrado por representantes do governo, da sociedade civil, da iniciativa privada e da comunidade acadêmica. Trata-se de modelo participativo de governança da internet em âmbito nacional e que está plenamente em consonância com os princípios do multilateralismo, da transparência e democracia. Embora se realize sob os auspícios das Nações Unidas, o IGF não é uma conferência ao estilo tradicional daquela organização. O menor formalismo aqui existente torna o ambiente mais atrativo e dinâmico. A presença de atores não governamentais e a possibilidade aberta a todos de participarem simplesmente como indivíduos ou como usuários da internet fazem do fórum uma instância muito especial. Finalmente, não poderia deixar de, mais uma vez, enfatizar a necessidade de um amplo programa de capacitação da sociedade, particularmente em países menos desenvolvidos, no uso eficaz da internet e das tecnologias da informação. A exclusão de parte considerável da humanidade da sociedade da informação representaria uma tragédia inadmissível que colocaria em risco a estabilidade política e econômica do mundo. Para concluir, em nome do governo brasileiro, desejo a todos uma excelente estada no Brasil, boa sorte e sucesso nessa empreitada coletiva de todos nós. Muito bom dia e muito obrigado. Now I'd like to call for his present his words, Mr. Amandum Touré, Secretary General, International Telecommunication Union, ITU.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Being the first speaker, I will use one of the ITU traditions in congratulating you for all the coming speakers so that they save time in not repeating that. So on behalf of all the speakers, I would like to congratulate you for your brilliant election and also thank the organizers and the host country for all the good things that they have done. I hope that will save 1 minute of each of the speakers' time. Thank you very much. I would like to express my gratitude of being here in addressing this. As Secretary General of the International Telecommunication Union, I've been in the office just for 1 year, and my main focus has been on ICT development. And as you all know, it is very close to my heart. The WISIS process has been a very open and transparent one. And I'm very pleased that to restate that very important step that was decided in the ITU Plenipotentiary Conference in 1998. And at the time, the main reason for organizing WISIS was that we were close to the deadline of not bridging the digital divide. Actually, the deadline for the so-called missing link. And I would just like to remind you that the monster is not only bigger, but it's faster. Therefore, we need to put real action into all the talks that we are making here. And I hope that the Rio Forum will be a very good continuation of the Athens Forum and will also come to really concrete results. I am summarizing my speech here. It's a 20 pages long. I hope you don't want me to read it all. I will make it available for you, but I'll just say a few bullet points in here. The ITU has been cooperating with all stakeholders since the Tunis Summit, and we are very pleased with the progress made so far in many areas. And I want to take the opportunity to thank all the partners who've been working with us. ITU is mainly busy in three main areas: standardization, development issues, capacity building in development. And we will host this week a couple of forums on them, on those two issues. I believe that capacity building will be one of the most important things for our countries, for all to really join the information society. And we not need to work together to build really and concretely on an inclusive information society where there will be equal opportunity for all. One of the key roles in the standards development, our work on DSL and cable wire and broadband standards have made end users' broadband a reality for hundreds of millions of users over the last few years. ITUT developed X509 as the definitive reference recommendation for electronic authentication over public networks and public key infrastructure, PKIs. ITU is now carrying out vital work establishing standards on new generation networks, or NGN, based on internet protocol technologies that will eventually replace the current PSTN. ITU is also conducting a number of related work programs with global scope in areas such as IPTV, cybersecurity, multimedia coding, using ITU voice and video standards. Through the development sector, ITU is assisting developing countries in using information and communication technologies as an engine for accelerated development, social and economic development, national prosperity, and global competitiveness. The Connect the World initiative is based on building multi-stakeholder process to achieve bold targets in ICT connectivity. Some of you may have been in Kigali with us just 2 weeks ago, where we launched the first Connect the World series in Connecting Africa summit in Kigali, which was very successful. Finally, ITU plays an important role in capacity building in ICTs and in providing a forum for the discussion of urgent policy issues by means of events such as the Global Symposium for Regulators and World Telecommunication Policy Forums, with systematic meetings and workshops on internet governance, cybersecurity, and spam, among others. Let me also mention that the innovation that has characterized the development of the internet over the past 30 years will inevitably lead to a change in the landscape, shifting of roles of key players, and the introduction of a new type of competition on the theme we are here to discuss. Experience shows that the more we resist change, the higher the pressure for change. Having witnessed the changes in the ITU landscape, I'm certainly in a very good position to say this. In summary, what is needed is next generation internet governance, the development of an enabling environment that assists governments to foster a supportive, transparent, pro-competitive policy, as well as a legal and regulatory framework to provide appropriate incentives for investment and community development in the information society. What is needed is the development of an overarching and enduring architecture based on national policy, legal and regulatory initiatives with intergovernmental collaboration, and capacity building efforts may be made toward finding common international technical and policy approaches to promote an enabling environment globally, offering the maximum benefits to society. In conclusion, I would like to remind you all of the spirit of the WISIS, that is of inclusion, cooperation, and tolerance. Let the beautiful skies of Rio be the uniting force for this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Touré. I'd like now to ask Ms. Henriette Esterhuizen, Executive Director, the Association for Progressive Communications, APC.
Thank you, Chairman. And thank you, Mr. Touré, for cutting some of my speech. One always prepares something beforehand, but I think, like other speakers and like the chair in his introduction indicated, the internet has enormous potential for contributing to all aspects of human development. And we in my organization believe it's a public good, and therefore it should be governed as a public good based on public interest principles. And also this governance should take place in the public domain. We need all institutions and all processes that are involved in governance of the internet to be transparent, to facilitate participation, and participation from all stakeholders, and participation in decision making, to provide access to information. And this is a very broad, this does not apply just to ICANN, this applies to all aspects of internet policy and government. On the themes of the forum, we think there are some key issues. Some of them have been addressed already. In the security theme, as was said by the chair, unless you link human rights and the right to privacy and other freedoms to security, you can create a less secure environment rather than a more secure environment. And we urge the IGF to maintain this link. In the theme of openness, we think there are two primary issues to be addressed. On the one hand, freedoms, freedom of expression, and the removal of barriers to people being able to use the internet in any way they want to. And on the other hand, standards. Increasingly, there are standards being made outside of public spaces that have social implications that limit what people can do with the internet. And the IGF needs to address this. This touches on issues of intellectual property, interoperability between different applications and devices. And these are things that impact on the cost. Why should blind people pay more for interfaces to read text? Because they're blind, and because someone earns a royalty on making two applications talk to one another. This is wrong. And then on the issue of access, I think, as has been said, it's really vital. We heard already 5 billion people in the world do not have access. We hear proclamations about wireless solutions, about private sector investment, and initiatives driven by governments, by intergovernmental organizations, and yet there are still 5 billion people in the world without access. The IGF needs to prioritize this. And then on diversity, I think what we would say about diversity is that the key to addressing diversity is, it's almost as of an equation. If you put openness and access together, you will have diversity. If you remove the barriers that are created by rigid proprietary intellectual property regimes, you will have more creation, more innovation. So let's focus on diversity as an issue, and linguistic diversity, cultural diversity, but let's remember that by creating more access and more openness, we will immediately, automatically achieve more diversity. And then finally, about ICANN. I think that we would like to commend the IGF for putting critical internet resources on the agenda. It's an important issue. But there's also a lot more to talk about other than ICANN. And I've already highlighted many of these issues. So while not avoiding talking about controversial issues, let's not let them dominate the space for the next few days, because there are many other critical issues, and that is why we are here.
Thank you, Mrs. Esterhuizen. I'd like now to call Mr. Guy Seban, Secretary General for the International Chamber of Commerce, ICC.
Excellencies, distinguished participants, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I am very pleased to be here this morning in Rio to participate in this opening ceremony of the second annual Internet Governance Forum. I am very proud to speak on behalf of the business community just after the distinguished representative of ITU, the intergovernmental organization, and after the presentation by Henriette on behalf of the civil society. It's important, in fact, to keep in mind these three main actors, which are called stakeholders, and this multi-stakeholder approach on an equal footing is certainly something that we have appreciated very much in the previous session of the IGF in Athens. As you can notice, I have applied the rule that our friend has given us, and I have said nothing to thank everybody, but I cannot go on without thanking not only the organizers and the participants, but also to thank Brazil as a country and all the Brazilian representatives for hosting us here. About the goals of this series of meeting called IGF, in Athens, we have set a goal, an objective. It was to exchange between specialists, between representatives of the civil society, between business people, between representatives of governments on different issues which are directly linked with internet governance. In this sense, the Athens meeting was a great success. But we have to go further. All these issues should be treated with a lot of attention. And all the discussions that have started in Athens should go on and be deepened and broadened. And that is paving the way also for the next meetings that will take place in India in 2008. Maybe two words about Brazil. Brazil is one of these four BRIC countries, as we call them usually. And it's incredible to see the development of this country, and especially in the field of information and communication technology. The reason why this development has occurred is probably because Brazil has applied some basic rules which are very well known to foster the development of new technologies and to foster entrepreneurship. This big country is a democracy, respecting the rule of law, respecting intellectual property rights, and has put in place the right infrastructure to help the development of information and communication technologies. We see in this country a great possibility for internet connection, and in some cases, you can get that even for free. That's for the aspects linked with governments. But I have said that we have also to take into account the role and responsibility of the business community. Usually, business is associated with technology, and business has invested a lot in research and development, and also in physical investments, in order to help different people to enjoy the benefits of internet and all the information and communication technologies. Not being a specialist in this area, I will just read some new technological development that have occurred in this area. Quantum leaps in computing memory through rapid advances in chip technology. Powerful machines in units so small that they are undetectable by the human eye. Nanotechnologies. Face recognition software for better security in the airports. Smart engines, social networking thanks to Web 2.0, long-distance medical monitoring and long-distance learning, and the list goes on. I could spend a lot of time explaining all the new developments that are due to technology in which the business community has invested a lot in terms of people and money. But to be successful, it's not enough to have on one side the governments and the intergovernmental organization playing their role, and on the other side, the business trying also to reach some objectives. I think the key word in this arena is certainly cooperation. And this cooperation between these actors, governments, business, civil society is absolutely essential. And the business community, not only investing and making research, has also spent a lot of efforts in order to convince the governments to put in place the right legislative framework. For us, this is absolutely key to create what is called this enabling environment, which means that the governments are really putting in place the right condition for attracting business in the different countries. But all these efforts finally are done for what reason? I think it's mainly also to satisfy the needs of individuals. And it's a pity to see that only a small proportion of the people living on this earth have access to these technologies. So I think all these efforts should be made for permitting access to the many billions of people who don't enjoy this possibility. You know that our organization, ICC, has launched an initiative called BASIS, and I just wanted to tell you two things about our organization. First of all, is that we have recently published a booklet which is called An Inventory of Policy Position and Practical Guidance, in which we have put all the position paper and the policy positions that we have developed in our commission. That's one achievement of a team of many experts. And we are very pleased to offer you this booklet, which is available here on our store. And a last word about our organization. In Athens, we have organized one workshop. Here in Rio, we are organizing two workshops. That means that we will have one which is organized with the Oxford Institute on security, which seems to be also a very important topic these days. And we will focus in this workshop mainly on digital identity management and on authentication. The second workshop is about multi-stakeholder policy development processes, which is very important, and we are co-organizing that with the French Foreign Ministry of Affairs and the Association for Progressive Communication, the Swiss Ofcom, and also Congo. So it's a true multi-stakeholder participation, and we invite all of you to participate as much as you can to these workshops. So I would conclude now my remarks, and I would like to thank you very much for your attention and for your presence and for your energy and your enthusiasm to participate in this forum and make it a great success. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sebin. I'm afraid we are lagging time. I have to ask the speakers again to be as brief as they can. And I'd like to call now Ms. Lynn Sentamu, President and CEO of the Internet Society.
It is a great pleasure for me to be here in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, for the Internet Governance Forum this week. And thank you to all those who made it possible. I would like to share with you the perspective I bring to the IGF as President and CEO of the Internet Society. And today, the message I would like to focus on is best captured by the possibly somewhat overexposed phrase, think globally and act locally. ISOC is an independent international nonprofit organization with more than 26,000 members in 180 countries and over 180 chapters spread around the world. We are proud to have been established by two of the fathers of the Internet, Bob Kahn and Vint Cerf, and in fact, Vint was the first executive director of the Internet Society. ISOC has promoted the open development and growth of the Internet since 1992. We are the organizational home for the Internet Engineering Task Force, IETF. We work globally and locally, and for over 15 years, our activities, particularly in developing countries, have helped expand the reach of the Internet and work to strengthen the local environment and increase local capacities of all kinds. A healthy and robust Internet requires local conditions that support an environment characterized by choice, connectivity, and active communities, an environment in which skills development, capacity building, and local content development are real priorities, an environment in which businesses are attracted by enabling public policy environments and predictable investment climates. These characteristics are not particular to the Internet or to the Internet's deployment. They are fundamental to a nation's economic and social development. For the Internet to be a powerful instrument that increases productivity, generates economic growth, job creation and employability, and improves the quality of life for all, it needs conditions in which it can flourish. This is no trivial matter. It is not easy. Yet these conditions are essential to bringing the next billion people online, and the billion after that, the billion after that, the billion after that, the billion after that. And by the time we get those billion people online, there will be several more billion that need to come online. The Internet Governance Forum presents all stakeholders with a unique opportunity to catalyze local change. The IGF is not only a forum for dialogue, but it is a medium that should encourage fundamental change at the local level to empower communities, build capacity and skills, enable the Internet's expansion, thereby contributing to economic and social development. The results of the IGF must be to contribute to and support the deployment of the Internet. And fundamentally, this must be done at the local level. So let us leverage the IGF to bring forth the tools, skills, and knowledge to empower all stakeholders, including governments, to effect this change. To succeed, we must preserve and promote the spirit and intent of the IGF. We must preserve and promote its multi-stakeholderism, its dynamic, open, and collaborative nature, and its encouragement of open and frank exchanges of views, free from the pressure of negotiations. Supporting and contributing to the evolution of the Internet as an open, decentralized platform for innovation, creativity, and economic opportunity is the best way for the Internet to help improve the lives of people everywhere. We have seen that throughout its history, the Internet has always been defined by the energy and ideas of those who use it. As new communities come online, we are excited by the creativity and innovation they bring, and we are constantly reminded of the duty we all share in supporting their emergence. ISOC encourages all stakeholders to reinvigorate their commitment to assisting new communities to come online, in identifying local solutions to the challenges that we all face, and ensuring the Internet is for everyone, as we still have a very, very long way to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Santamo. I'd like to call His Excellency Mr. José Mariano Gago, Minister of Science and Technology and Higher Education of Portugal.
Senhor Ministro Sérgio Rezende, Ministro Gilberto Gil, Secretário-Geral Adjunto das Nações Unidas, membros do Governo presentes, dirigentes de organizações internacionais, delegados, senhoras e senhores. Quero, em primeiro lugar, enquanto Presidente em exercício do Conselho de Ministros da União Europeia, responsáveis pelas políticas de sociedade de informação e representante do Governo de Portugal, saudar muito calorosamente e em português o Governo e os organizadores brasileiros deste fórum. Parabéns e obrigado pela iniciativa, pela qualidade da organização e também pelo vosso acolhimento excepcional. Portugal sente-se justamente orgulhoso pelo sucesso e afirmação do Brasil, que tem mostrado de forma exemplar uma tremenda capacidade de progresso na concepção e concretização de políticas para a sociedade da informação em benefício do seu desenvolvimento económico e social. A iniciativa brasileira de organizar amanhã mesmo um seminário sobre o acesso livre ao conhecimento dos países de língua portuguesa merece todo o nosso apoio, certos que poderá estimular ações semelhantes noutros espaços linguísticos ou regionais. A União Europeia partilha, desde a primeira hora, os grandes objetivos e a preparação deste IGF e das realizações que o antecederam. A União Europeia sempre defendeu o caráter aberto, diverso, multivariado do Fórum, equilibrado geograficamente, participado por organizações de natureza diversa, cuja riqueza está precisamente na sua natureza inovadora de local de debate e concertação, de Fórum. Não se trata de um prefácio a mais outra instância política multilateral, mas apenas e tão só disto mesmo, de um fórum aberto e inovador. Esta afigura-se-nos ser, na Europa, a melhor forma de trabalharmos em conjunto e de defendermos a própria inovação social que a internet provou constituir. A União Europeia cedo entendeu que não se tratava aqui principalmente de infraestruturas, mas de redes e de movimento social. A concepção de políticas para a sociedade de informação, repito, para a sociedade da informação, em cada país, assim como à escala da União, é prova desse entendimento. Também a definição de objetivos comuns a toda a União é consequência dessa política. O quadro de referência adotado, a que chamamos I-2010, Internet 2010, consagra os objetivos atuais: um espaço europeu comum de informação, uma aposta na investigação e desenvolvimento em tecnologias de informação, o estímulo a conteúdos e serviços avançados. Linhas de ação como a generalização do acesso em banda larga, a segurança e a neutralidade e interoperabilidade da rede, a inclusão digital, a modernização dos serviços públicos como vetor moderno de IGOV, a aposta pública no uso generalizado da internet e das tecnologias de informação para a competitividade económica, assim como em saúde, educação, comércio, disponibilização e produção de conteúdos multiculturais e multilingües, formação de competências e também na própria respiração de sociedades democráticas e ainda no apoio a políticas de inclusão social e cultural, no apoio a pessoas com deficiência ou necessidades especiais e, mais recentemente, as iniciativas para o desenvolvimento e utilização da Internet das Coisas, RFID, concretizam na União Europeia estes objetivos políticos e são objeto de avaliação mútua, de debate e troca de experiências entre países e regiões, segundo um método aberto de coordenação de políticas nacionais de grande eficácia. É esta experiência que a União Europeia quer partilhar com o resto do mundo. O investimento da União na criação e operação de redes para ciência e educação, não apenas no interior do seu próprio território, mas em ligação, como acontece com a América Latina, com a Rede Clara, com a África ou com a Bacia do Mediterrâneo, são exemplos concretos da vontade de cooperação e de apoio ao desenvolvimento à escala global. A União Europeia deseja naturalmente que os seus esforços a favor do desenvolvimento e do conhecimento à escala global encontrem cada vez mais resposta e parceria noutros espaços, noutras organizações e noutros países. A isso vos convidamos. Não é certamente por acaso que o modelo da World Wide Web foi desenvolvido num dos mais importantes laboratórios internacionais de investigação, o CERN, como instrumento aberto e de uso livre. As novas formas de desenvolvimento e organização aberta da internet e o papel desempenhado pelas diferentes organizações com intervenção no atual modelo aberto de governação, especialmente do ICANN, cuja atividade importa aplaudir e saudar, mostraram até hoje uma capacidade de resposta sem precedentes. Este modelo atual é flexível, é dinâmico, pode e tem sido melhorado e deve continuar. Os governos devem, sim, garantir a independência das organizações que nele operam, especialmente do ICANN, e garantir o equilíbrio e a abertura internacional necessárias. Seria um retrocesso, a nosso entender, inadmissível, o regresso a formas velhas de multilateralismo e a sua aplicação à internet. A internet veio, nas últimas décadas, revolucionar e ampliar as nossas expectativas da liberdade e da participação democrática, do acesso à informação e ao conhecimento, da pluralidade das línguas e das culturas, da variedade e riqueza de ação de milhares de atores sociais, milhões de atores sociais à escala do planeta. A internet cumpriu 100.000 vezes as suas promessas iniciais e abriu-nos sempre a desafios novos. Contra o acesso livre à internet, contra a formação de redes sociais e de informação globais e contra a liberdade de expressão e de acesso ao conhecimento, ergueram-se todos os fanatismos e todos os inimigos da democracia. Em vão. Já a Declaração de Genebra da Cimeira Mundial da Sociedade de Informação solenemente afirmava o que intransigentemente continuamos a defender, não apenas para nós na Europa, mas em todo o mundo. Diz a Declaração de Genebra: "We reaffirm as an essential foundation of the information society and as outlined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression, that this right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers. Communication is a fundamental social process, a basic human need and the foundation of all social organization. It is central to the information society. Everyone, everywhere, should have the opportunity to participate, and no one should be excluded from the benefits the information society offers." Thank you very much. Muito obrigado.
Thank you, Minister Mariano Gago. I'd like now to call Mr. Paul Twomey, President and CEO of ICANN.
Minister Resende, Minister Gil, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to begin by congratulating the government of Brazil and the Brazilian internet community and the United Nations, in particular the IGF Secretariat, for arranging this second meeting of the Internet Governance Forum in this remarkable city of Rio de Janeiro. The Internet Governance Forum brings together a diverse group of individuals in the aim of sharing knowledge and experience over and about this one global interoperable internet. We should all be proud of our achievements so far. Over 1 billion individuals online. Trillions of dollars of business being conducted, over a network which comprises hundreds of millions of computers and devices, all communicating with one another across the globe. It has given the individual in our societies an ability to communicate and interact with others unprecedented in human history. It has reformed industries and caused us to rethink how we view ourselves and our planet. But with this extraordinary change also comes challenges, and that is what this forum is about: bringing together people to talk, review, discuss, and hopefully envision solutions to some of the issues that are before us. The agenda of this meeting captures them. Most important, of course, as others have said, is access. Our discussions here will mean nothing to someone not able to get onto the network in the first place. And the challenge now is to ensure that we bring the next billion people online. Diversity, openness, security, access, critical internet resources are all topics for this IGF. All these topics will be discussed over the course of these next few days, and I hope at the end of it, we end up one step further down the line in solving some of the issues they represent. ICANN, like other internet organisations, is committed to the multi-stakeholder and open way of doing business, where anyone, from governments, the technical community, business, and civil society can participate freely, either in person or virtually. We are pleased that the IGF is also following this model. ICANN has a participative community of up to 20,000 people around the world involved within its very narrow mandate of technical coordination for the DNS and IP addressing. I would like to issue a personal invitation to all people here to join that community, to participate as you wish and desire, and to help with their work and with its evolution. Before finishing, I would also like to thank ITU Secretary General Hamidan Touray and the UNESCO leadership for their support and assistance in helping to produce a joint workshop with ICANN this week that will review how international cooperation can be used to establish standards for a multilingual, global and interoperable internet, the inevitable next step for this extraordinary medium. I wish you all a fruitful week, and I look forward to continuing discussions again next year in Delhi. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Truman. I'd like now to call Mr. Naoyuki Akikusa, Chairman, Fujitsu Limited, Chairman of the Global Information Infrastructure Commission. And I'm going to ask Minister Gilberto Gil to chair the remainder of the section.
Mr. Chairman, and all distinguished participants, thank you for the opportunity to visit Rio de Janeiro. I appreciate the warm welcomes from our Brazilian host. I have been working with various business organizations on policy development. Currently, I am serving as the chairman of the Global Information Infrastructure Commission, GIIC. The GIIC missions to be provide private sector leaders to host the investment in the ICT and internet capability. the GIC has actively participated in the many meetings of the World Summit on the Information Society, WSIS, and also in the discussion at the IGF, and holding workshop access tomorrow morning. At GIC annual meeting in Tokyo next April, and we hope to discuss further the issue of internet governance and related issues. Today, I want to like to talk two topics. One is environment and internet and ICT. Second one is corporate management and the internet. Speaking of environment and the internet and ICT, considering the sustainability of economic development empowered by the internet, the internet is becoming a more important factor. However, we have not sufficiently discussed environment impact of the use of such technology. The internet and ICT can reduce the burden of the environment, for example, digitalization and mechanical component greatly improve their efficiencies. For example, automatic controls, some medical equipment like CTI, and also teleconference reduces the physical movement of person and goods. Energy management system improve power efficiencies in business and homes, even in the public sector. However, the energy consumption in the world ICT, usage is not so small. We need to think about more efficient use of our resources. The ICT uses account for 2% of CO2 consumption worldwide. Some surveys shows that data centers consume 23% of that account. Half of and air conditioning for cooling consumes half of electric power in the data center. I'd like to show some examples. Replacing 10 racks of servers by one blade server rack can annually reduce CO2 emissions by the equivalent amount of planting 200 trees. The ISP in our company, Fujitsu Group, is now using 25% of its mail servers to combat spam. And 90% of email coming to Fujitsu are spam. I think probably the communication carrier incurred a huge amount of energy and cost for spam. We are facing many environmental matters to be solved and to discuss in the future. For the healthy development of the global internet, I think we should pay more attention to accessing this wasting energy and cost. Secondly, I'd like to touch upon the corporate management and the internet. The internet is a crucial part of the business infrastructure because it circulates everywhere like the air. Companies like Fujitsu heavily depend on the internet application systems from R&D to sales offices, even in training and education. If internet doesn't work, it means we cannot continue our business operation. However, many in top management side does not notice this and think of the internet as a given infrastructure to utilize. Only a few recognize internet safety as a critical management issue to keep secure and stable internet operation is an essential part of corporate management. And a company executive should recognize the internet as one of the most important management issue and consider it as something like a subset of worldwide internet governance. Finally, the private sector represented only 30% of all at the IGF in assets. The important thing for the private sector should be to participate more in the IGF and contribute to its successes. Thank you very much.
Next speaker, Miss Eve Matsep Kasaburi, Minister of Communications of South Africa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, as well as the secretary to the forum. I'd like to thank Brazil in particular for having hosted this, but I will do away with all the other thank yous. But I would like to say a special thank you to the Secretary General of the United Nations for fulfilling the mandate of the World Summit of Information Society by convening the Internet Governance Forum to enable the multilateral, multi-stakeholder, democratic, and transparent dialogue to take place. And I'd like to thank the Secretary General of the ITU in particular for doing a great deal of work to carry this mandate forward. It is now 2 years since we decided at the second phase of the World Summit on Information Society that we should establish this multi-stakeholder forum, this Internet Governance Forum, in order to bring together these representatives that we have here today. Few in the world could have predicted that the internet would grow in the global phenomena it is today. We must thank the dedicated individuals who have committed so much to its growth and to its management. The benefits of increased efficiency and the services that can be delivered through internet technology have been closely followed by policy challenges, and many of us face those challenges. And we must all rise to those challenges. One of those such challenges is that is the most urgent of challenge facing humankind, and it is the eradication of poverty and of underdevelopment. This will remain a critical challenge for some years yet. I therefore appeal to this forum to continue to focus on the collective view that was expressed by the Declaration of Principles in Tunis or in Geneva, to build a people-centered, inclusive, and development-oriented information society, enabling the individuals, communities, and peoples to achieve their full potential in promoting sustainable development and improving their quality of life. But as we heard today, you can't use it unless you have access to it. And in my country, we have a favorite phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it. But we have neither that which we can lose. And it's important to bring that and make sure that we can actually also use it. As East and Southern Africa, there has already been collaborative effort under the NEPAD program of the AU, or the African Union, to build cables, undersea cables, to improve access and to reduce the cost of internet connectivity, as part of what the Secretary General of the ITU spoke about this morning, the Connect Africa concept. Another one of the key challenges we face as a people, but also as a whole world and Africa in particular, are the challenges that we must ensure the participation of representative stakeholders on a consistent basis, especially from developing countries and their unconnected people. We therefore need to consider how we can use this tool, the internet, to address exclusion and underdevelopment. We therefore ask ourselves, what can the IGF do for the billions who do not yet have access? Billions who could benefit from the improved way of doing things, from accessing government services to e-health, e-education services, etc., and a whole range of other services which are offered through the internet. We need practical solutions to support development. And this development is crucial, and crucial now. And as we have endorsed at the WSIS, such things as local content, capacity building, the right of countries to manage their own internet resources whilst maintaining global coordination are all subject matters of this conference. And we hope that as we end the conference, we will have moved forward in attending to some of these things. We must make a collective commitment to the next generation internet and the technologies that will foster the next generation. But we must make sure to make sure that the stability and security of the internet as a global facility and ensuring its requisite legitimacy and governance based on full participation of all stakeholders is maintained. I would therefore like to repeat and echo the call of my own president when he was in Tunis by appealing to everyone that we should ourselves take action to translate the shared vision of an inclusive, development-oriented information society into practical reality. We hope that this forum will propel us forward in this mission for benefit of the world, but especially for one of the most marginalized areas of the world, Africa, and I thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kasaburi. Next speaker, Mr. Adama Samaseku, Executive Secretary, African Academy of Languages.
Excellence, Monsieur le Président, Mesdames, Messieurs les ministres, Monsieur le secrétaire général de l'UIT, estimados convidados, honorables invités, Mesdames, Messieurs, bon dia, bonjour, good morning, Aunis Roma. Permettez-moi tout d'abord de vous dire à quel point je suis honoré de m'adresser à la grande famille de la société de l'information, de la connaissance et des savoirs partagés que je suis heureux de retrouver ici, à Rio. Il me plaît ensuite de remercier le gouvernement brésilien de l'accueil qu'il nous a réservé et le secrétariat exécutif du forum pour l'organisation de cette deuxième session. Chers amis, je me réjouis de l'engouement que je constate autour de ce forum de la gouvernance d'Internet dont l'importance n'échappe à aucun d'entre nous. C'est pourquoi je souhaiterais partager avec vous quelques réflexions concernant le processus dans lequel nous sommes engagés depuis plus de 5 ans. Dans un premier temps, permettez-moi donc de rappeler quelques acquis du processus du sommet mondial sur la société de l'information. D'abord, ce que j'appelle l'esprit du sommet, caractérisé par une approche multi-acteurs qui a conduit à un mécanisme novateur avec la création et l'institutionnalisation du bureau de la société civile et de la représentation du secteur privé, ce qui a permis le développement d'une dynamique partenariale inclusive impliquant l'ensemble des acteurs concernés, gouvernement, société civile, secteur privé, organisations intergouvernementales. Deuxièmement, deux initiatives africaines majeures, le Fonds de solidarité numérique à Genève et Maya, Réseau mondial pour la diversité linguistique à Tunis. Troisièmement, la mise en place d'un dispositif de suivi de la mise en œuvre des lignes d'action issues de la phase de Genève sous la coordination globale de l'UIT, de l'UNESCO et du PNUD. Et je me réjouis aujourd'hui du leadership du secrétaire général de l'UIT, organisation initiatrice du SMSI. Quatrièmement, la création du forum de la gouvernance d'Internet formalisé à Tunis. Mais, chers amis, nous sommes aujourd'hui en quelque sorte à la croisée des chemins au regard des enjeux de la dynamique du forum de la gouvernance de l'Internet. Seul espace formel issu du SMSI qui rassemble toute notre grande famille internationale n'est-il pas nécessaire afin de conserver ce bel enthousiasme, de promouvoir au sein du forum un mécanisme de recommandation d'action concrète, prenant en compte l'ensemble des points du mandat du Forum pour la gouvernance de l'Internet. Des 12 points de ce mandat, en effet, j'aimerais particulièrement rappeler les points suivants. Four, faciliter the exchange of information and best practices, and this, in this regard, make full use of the expertise of the academic, scientific and technical communities. 5, advise all stakeholders in proposing ways and means to accelerate the availability and affordability of the Internet in the developing world. 7, identify emerging issues, bring them to the attention of the relevant bodies and the general public, and where appropriate, make recommendations. 8.8, contribute to capacity building for Internet governance in developing countries, drawing fully on local sources of knowledge and expertise. Point 11, help to find solutions to the issues arising from the use and misuse of the Internet of particular concern to everyday users. De ce point de vue, le débat sur la démocratisation de l'Internet devrait inclure également, d'une part, la nécessité pour chaque citoyen du monde d'avoir accès à cet outil dans sa langue. Et d'autre part, l'urgence de s'attaquer ensemble aux graves dérives de l'usage d'Internet. Cela pourrait se faire à travers un vaste programme de sensibilisation et de formation, en particulier par le biais des bibliothèques et autres espaces communs appropriés, en les mettant au cœur de cette nouvelle société en construction et surtout en direction des jeunes générations. Dans cette perspective, comment ne pas saisir l'heureuse opportunité de la célébration de 2008, année internationale des langues, pour davantage mettre l'accent sur les points que je viens d'évoquer à l'occasion de la troisième session du FGI en Inde. En ma qualité de secrétaire exécutif de l'Académie africaine des langues et de président du Réseau mondial pour la diversité linguistique, j'aimerais vous faire part de notre disponibilité à travailler avec les instances du Forum pour ce faire. Et d'ores et déjà, j'ai le plaisir de vous inviter à découvrir sur le site de l'UNESCO, organisation chef de file pour la célébration de cette année, l'excellent message de son directeur général, M. Matsura, intitulé « Les langues, ça compte ». Enfin, pour conclure, j'aimerais ici lancer un appel à cette illustre assemblée pour nous encourager à réfléchir dans cet espace du Forum de la gouvernance de l'Internet sur les voies et moyens de renforcer les dynamiques régionales d'appropriation sociale des technologies de l'information et de la communication en fonction des spécificités de chaque région du monde pour une plus grande participation de tous aux bénéfices procurés par ce bien public mondial que devrait être l'Internet. Que Dieu nous accompagne dans notre entreprise de renforcement de l'humanitude dans le monde, seul moyen d'éviter une déshumanisation des relations entre individus, États et peuples. Thank you, shukran, merci, asante sana, gracias, muito obrigado, auniche.
Thank you, Mr. Sama Seko. Next speaker, Mr. Luigi Vimercati, Undersecretary of Communications, Italy.
Distinguished representatives of governments, of international organizations, and of the civil society, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to express my appreciation to the government of Brazil for hosting this important event and to the IGF Secretariat for having made possible this second crucial meeting on Internet governance. The Athens governance last year opened the way for a global and multi-stakeholder discussion on the development of the most powerful instrument that humanity has ever had, able to generate and circulate knowledge and to shift power. From then on, Italy has clearly expressed the opinion that a set of principles is necessary to allow a democratic and inclusive development of the Internet, agreed and shared on a global scale. In this view, the Italian government, together with the United Nations, has organized last September in Rome a dialogue forum on Internet rights that saw the participation of more than 700 delegates from governments, civil society, the private sector, academia, coming from 70 different countries. The forum confirmed the necessity to define at an international and multi-stakeholder level common rules for Internet governance, which, in our opinion, should take on the form of an Internet Bill of Rights. It is quite evident that Internet is introducing nowadays radical changes in every dimension of human behavior, from economy to communication, to social and political relationships. Its hasty growth affects directly human rights and shows shortcomings of the measures adopted so far to protect them. But at the same time, it reveals an extraordinary potential as a new bottom-up form of expression able to strengthen democracy in the knowledge-based society. Today, we are witnessing the birth of a new generation of rights pertaining to global digital citizenships, which represents an extension with its specific peculiarities of fundamental human rights. Consequently, a Bill of Rights is needed, a jointly agreed definition of this right, consistent rules to ensure freedom and access to internet, together with forms of self-regulation, all these to guarantee the rights of single individuals and social groups, particularly the most vulnerable ones. Absence of rules doesn't necessarily mean a freer internet. We must not forget that freedom of expression and the free flow of information and ideas has to go alongside with the safety and the integrity of the internet to make it achieve its full potential and to avoid the supremacy of the strong over the weak. We must ensure that everyone in the world can benefit from these opportunities offered by internet by removing all the barriers that hinder full access to the net and trying to bridge the digital divide. For all of these reasons, we are particularly pleased to be here today. The Internet Governance Forum is the ideal place to gather shared views on the four areas of discussion: access, diversity, openness, security, all of them relating to the Internet Bill of Rights. In fact, we firmly believe that is our responsibility as policymakers to reaffirm our commitment to make the internet a means of social cohesion and inclusion, and to build a people-centered, knowledge-based, and progress-oriented information society. Nevertheless, defining principles and common rules for the internet, especially in consideration of its intrinsic characteristic, also entails the definition of a new working method. Internet is by definition a place of extended discussion, of initiatives involving a large number of people. Therefore, it becomes evident that an Internet Bill of Rights cannot be achieved through traditional procedures typical of international convention, that is, through top-down cooperation between governments or through classical forms of multilateral diplomacy. The Internet Bill of Rights can and must be the starting point of a unique process involving a multiplicity of actors at different levels. The dynamic coalitions set up with the IGF are the best example of this new approach that we intend to adopt. My country participates at different levels to the Internet Bill of Rights Dynamic Coalition, which tomorrow will convene to share the progress made so far and to jointly identify the most appropriate way to define the Bill of Rights. We expect, through your participation, to bring together a number of actors who will concretely lay down, together with us, with our friends of the Brazilian government and all the others, the basis of an Internet Bill of Rights. We know that it will be a long and difficult process, and it is not only a question of establishing governance principle of the largest existing space in the world, but also to identify the instruments able to guarantee afterwards that they become a reference system for the international community. In this view, we also look with expectation to the possibility of reaching an agreement in order to define a kind of high commissioner of internet rights. In conclusion, I'm certain that the well-known competence of Minister Gilberto Gil, of Professor Stefano Rodotà, and of all the participants will make tomorrow's workshop a fundamental step forward towards the creation of an Internet Bill of Rights. I'm looking forward to meet you all tomorrow. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Vermarcacci. Next speaker, I recommend the speakers to obey to the 5 minutes, 6 minutes extension. Next speaker, Mr. Kiyoshi Mori, Vice Minister for Policy Coordination, Minister of Communications, Japan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Brazilian government. It is my great honor to have this opportunity of making a speech at the opening ceremony, which is held here, beautiful city of Rio de Janeiro. As we all know, the internet has developed rapidly since its commercialization in 1994, and the number of its users is going to exceed 1 billion worldwide. There are many advantages of using the internet. The net can provide access to diversified choices in goods and services, activate communication between people, and improve productivity of various industries. Toward this goal, all stakeholders, including the participants of this IGF meeting, must cooperate with each other in order to deploy the internet further and share its fruits among all peoples around the world. Achieving such a good goal will not be easy. There are many issues to be tackled, and active challenges are needed to resolve those issues. I strongly believe that one of the important purposes of IGF meetings is to learn and share the experiences of the challenges with each other in order to make it easier to accomplish the ultimate goal of internet deployment throughout society. According to ITU report in 2006, Japan has achieved the most inexpensive and fastest internet access in the world. I think there are two main reasons behind this. Firstly, we established a national strategy for the ICT development. In the year 2001, we launched the eJapan strategy, which promoted nationwide spread of broadband networks. In addition, in 2004, we set a ubiquitous Japan policy, which was aiming at enabling ICT connection to anyone, at any time, anywhere, and with anything. Secondly, we promoted competition policy in the telecommunications market. In particular, the unbundling of the dominant carriers' facilities and the formulation of collocation rules allowed new entrants to the market. Thanks to this, innovations and new services had been developed, which allowed charges to be dramatically lowered and increased consumer benefits. Although having achieved a significant development in the ICT field, we still have many things to cope with. As conventional telecommunications network is rapidly replaced by IP-based network, we are facing various new issues. I'll point out three main issues. First, there is the issue of network neutrality. With more IP networks and broadband connections, more variety of services are being provided. As a result, the volume of packet traffic has increased and resulted in network congestion. Fair use and equal cost bearing of the network infrastructure is becoming serious issues. Second is the competition policy issue that arises from the next generation network. The next generation network is expected to improve efficiency of network operation and reliability. Consequently, we have to establish the new competition rule to secure the mutual connection as well as the openness of sub-platform of the network. Third, it is necessary to promote information security. We have to improve the reliability of the network and applications, in addition to ensuring the essential communications in disasters and other emergency situations. In conclusion, I have shared with you our country's experiences and achievements, as well as our awareness of the issues, considering that our life can be improved through proper use of the internet as a vital tool, and that this IGF meeting is significant as the place for information sharing towards that purpose. With advanced use of the internet, new issues that we have not experienced before could emerge in the future. It is important to put our heads together to continue our efforts to tackle the issues and to find the exercise the best way forward. We believe that the IGF meetings can contribute to creating a path from the missing link to the collaboration link through open and free discussions. And Japan is ready to support positively such a movement with all of you. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you, Mr. Mori. Next speaker, Mr. John Clancy, consultant.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I seem to be the odd person in this session's agenda since I do not have the privilege of speaking for a government or a large and important organization. I do, however, have some experience with the development of the internet itself, and I hope I can share some perspective from the standpoint of the technical development of the internet and how we got to where we are today with a network which is serving billions of users and looking forward to serving billions more. Contrary to what one might infer from some of the conversations and discussions and publications one has seen in recent years, the internet was not developed and invented in 1992. Some of us have been involved in work on what has become the internet and its concepts since the late 60s. For nearly four decades. And many of us have understood since then that this would ultimately become a global network if it was successful at all. It isn't perfect. In general, we prefer to get something working and implemented and deployed rather than getting it perfect, spending endless years of exploration and discussions about how every possible need could be accommodated. Had we chosen the course of discussion and accommodation of all needs, there probably would not be a working internet today. The possibility of substituting discussion for deployment and access remains a risk today. One of the things I think we all need to understand and remember as these discussions in IGF and elsewhere go forward is whatever you like about the present nature of the internet and its reach, it is important to remember that the design, independent of funding and other initiatives, is not a consequence of any action by governments or intergovernmental associations. Among the many myths about the internet is one that assumes the technological design and development community, especially the applications level development community, has historically not cared about the rest of you or the rest of the world's populations, or has simply been naive about the social and political implications of a network like this. We've been concerned about making the internet available to more people in more countries for a rather long time. There were serious discussions about multi-script naming and connectivity and content by 1972, including the first of many proposals as to how to do that. The notion that we didn't start thinking about these issues until people started talking about making the internet multilingual in the last few years just has no basis. Our Japanese colleagues had kanji content on the internet by 1987 and were actively using it in email. Standards were in place for interoperable multilingual content by 1992 and were deployed rapidly after that, including being carried over into the web. The original host naming rules that ultimately became the domain name rules were built on a foundation that considered national use characters and national character sets. The decision to exclude those characters wasn't based on an ignorant preference for English or Roman-based characters, but on the fact that the technology at that stage just had not matured enough for more international use, and the observation that the use of multiple characters and multiple options has a tendency to make things less interoperable if these become choices. It is perhaps useful to note that the ITU and ISO made very similar decisions about identifiers for the network protocols associated with X25 and with key OSI identifiers for approximately the same reasons. Especially in less developed countries, far more of the early connections that were sustainable and that have developed into today's internet environment were the result of largely private sector bottom-up efforts rather than major top-down initiatives. Mutual assistance networks for identifying email connectivity paths came into existence in the early 1980s. Private efforts to get developing countries connected, at least by email and then with full internet connections, came about 5 years later in the mid-1980s. Many of the internet governance problems which we see today and see discussed are neither new nor internet specific, but are generalizations of more traditional problems, sometimes in rather thin disguises. For the subset of those issues that are appearing in that area as generalizations, most of the reasons for casting them as new topics seem to involve more to do with topics and objectives other than getting the internet spread and deployed and usable. Throughout history, at least modern history, we've noticed that criminals and pornographers have often been more efficient about adopting and adapting to new technologies, especially communications technologies, to their needs than most of us have been capable of adopting those technologies. We need to accept that and move forward with better technology, but more important, better rules and better social structures and better societal constraints, rather than attacking the technology itself and risking damaging what in many respects a conference like this is here to celebrate. Unacceptable behaviors, including stalking, extortion, fraud, deliberate deception, are not really different whether done face-to-face or over an electronic communications technology such as the internet. The internet may call for better intergovernmental arrangements and agreements about prosecuting these crimes across borders and better technology for identifying the perpetrators. But we have precedents for those kinds of agreements which do not require new structures. Each proposed action that treats an unacceptable behavior differently depending on whether it's performed over the internet or in some other context should be examined very carefully and I believe with some suspicion. Finally, almost every decision which has been made about the internet from the beginnings to the recent times, both technological and policy, has had advantages and disadvantages. In the last decade or so, and as a community, I believe we have been very poor at looking at both those advantages and disadvantages and understanding that we're making trade-offs. At least in retrospect, creation of a market in domain names has caused not only cyber squatting, but also phishing. Without the market, those problems would probably not exist in their present form. Creation of an email regime that permits anyone to communicate with anyone else without having to be registered with and going through government-authorized providers on models similar to the old PTTs has turned email, and now instant messaging, into important worldwide communications tools. But it also helps facilitate the work of the spammer and virus spreaders. Even the decision to build useful and productive meetings like this and hold them involves implicit decisions to not invest the resources in, for example, clean water or alleviating hunger. In each case, I'd like to believe that we as a community have made the right decisions, but we need to remember, I believe, that there are alternatives, and conversely, that selecting those alternatives would have changed some of the things that we appreciate today. Thank you again, and best wishes for a successful meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Glenson. Next speaker, Ms. Maud Deboer Bukikikyu, Deputy Secretary General of the Council of Europe.
Mr. Chairman, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the Council of Europe, which I represent, is an organization which brings together 47 of the 48 European countries on our continent to promote human rights, democracy, and the rule of law. Our primary task is to enforce, through the European Court of Human Rights, the European Convention on Human Rights, the Bill of Rights of the whole European continent, which applies both off and online. Our message, Europe's main message, is clear. We want to secure people's enjoyment of a maximum of rights and services with minimum restrictions, while at the same time seeking to ensure the level of security that users are entitled to expect. This is why our organization adopted just 5 days ago a policy recommendation for our governments on promoting the public service value of the internet. We in Europe, we want an affordable, unrestricted, safe, and diverse access to the internet. My time is short, so I will limit myself to a few brief points. First, the internet is our business. It belongs to all of us and must not become a virtual jungle in which its inherent freedom and anonymity are abused by criminals. These people may be operating in a virtual world, but the harm they cause is very real. Our response has been the Council of Europe Convention on Cybercrime and its protocol, the only existing international treaty dealing in a comprehensive manner and in full respect of human rights with crimes committed through the use of internet. It has been signed so far by 43 countries around the world. I encourage other countries to seek accession to the convention as soon as possible. The broader the membership, the fewer the hiding places. My second point is about children, who represent one of the biggest categories of internet users. The internet empowers them, but it also creates new threats to their safety. Sexual exploitation of children is, of course, one of such threats. And this is why the Council of Europe Convention for the Protection of Children Against Sexual Exploitation and Abuse outlaws groomers and pedopornographers and reinforces considerably international cooperation. This treaty, too, is open to non-European countries, and I encourage all states to sign up to it. Let me also take the occasion to announce the birth this week in Strasbourg of a new city, an e-city, made for and with children. It will be hosted on our website, and its aim is very simple: empower children so that they can contribute to a better world, nearer to their hopes and dreams. To conclude, ladies and gentlemen, we in Europe, adults and children alike, we have a dream and an ambition. The dream is to make democratic citizenship a reality for all on the World Wide Web. Our ambition is to show the world the way to achieve this. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Ms. Bukikyo. Next speaker, Ms. Catherine Troutman, member of European Parliament.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. As another European voice, I wish to affirm the strong engagement of all the EU institutions in the process of the IGF, which is for us a special and unique space for discussion between all who are involved in internet governance. This platform gives us a common context of ideas, experiences, and propositions in which we can find inspiration for decision and action. The main topics bring the framework and continuity we need to move our points of view closer. The adjunction of new items like critical resources, semantic web, protection of children, Bill of Rights, and other matters shows that the method is open so that the responsibility of the results belongs to the stakeholders. I want to mention now the key points which we hope will be taken in consideration by the participants. Two words express basically the goal of internet governance: security and privacy. That means that the respect of fundamental rights, and especially of freedom of expression, must be considered as a truly unquestioned principle of information society. There is no free economy, free creation, and information if the freedom of individuals, NGOs, and journalists has no sufficient guarantee. It's vital to counter attempts of censorship and ensure that internet's capability to be itself a means of free expression is maintained. We must also ensure that technological convergence and economical concentration don't constitute impediments to freedom and diversity. That's why the respect of structural qualities of internet openness and interoperability is needed, favoring complementarity over superiority of platforms to reinforce its successful ability to boost innovation and creativity in our global knowledge economy, as in the resorption of social injustice and the risky consequences of climate change. Security and stability of internet are amongst our priorities because we think that without them, the citizen will not enjoy the benefits which the internet offers, and prohibited business will increase, as will the violence against people like harassment or threats. Children must be especially secure online. It's very important that this topic can be discussed at the IGF. We know that practical solutions are expected to bridge the digital divide. This is not only about access and connectivity, linked to energetic issues as well, but also about access to access, which encompasses education and long life learning. It is also important to talk about IP address allocation. Relevant organizations dealing with this issue are encouraged to further their work towards shaping allocation policies of IP addresses in a way respecting the justified needs of the developing countries. Internet is in constant evolution in its technical aspects as well as in its services. For example, the Internet of Things is a subject of more and more deliberations and sometimes fantasms. As a concept, Internet of Things needs concretization, and it would be good to take and discuss this topic, which is an emerging issue in public policy perspective in the agenda of the next 2008 IGF meeting. Let me finish in expressing the hope that a successful meeting of the IGF will motivate institutional partners of the enhanced cooperation to join the movement and, with some efforts, participate to this mutual benefit. States must elaborate their discussion, strategy, and method as IGF build its own on transparency, flexibility, and reciprocity. It's not only a hope, I think it's a necessity, because we want a free, safe, and democratic internet. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Troutman. Next speaker, Mr. Jinder Singh, Permanent Secretary, Department of Information Technology, India.
Mr. Chairman, participants from across the world, it is indeed a pleasure to speak in this IGF in Rio de Janeiro. ICTs are a fundamental element of all emerging global knowledge societies. They may lead to greater opportunities for those who can partake of them, but they may also lead to greater exclusion for those who cannot. While India is a leading country in the IT sector globally, the benefits of the internet revolution have not yet fully percolated to the everyday life of the common man. This is particularly true for those in the rural areas. Inclusive development is an imperative. We are of the view that the IGF needs to maintain the overall development orientation across all the themes. There are several challenges that must be addressed in order to make the vision of a truly inclusive knowledge society a reality. Perhaps the first challenge towards enabling a solution on such a large scale is to review the issues relating to access, broadband access, access to technology, access to content. This is no easy matter, especially in India, which is geographically, demographically, and linguistically so diverse. I propose to give an example from India. The government has launched an ambitious project to establish 100,000 village internet kiosks. A national broadband network is being rolled out to give connectivity to these centers. This would provide access to 600,000 villages. These centers are being established through a public-private partnership model. The centers would provide access to education, telemedicine, public services, remote banking, and entertainment to hitherto unreached sections of society. These 100,000 centers are expected to be operational by December 2008. Capacity building is a priority area to enable meaningful participation of a larger number of people in the use of the internet. This is critical because of the challenges posed not only by illiteracy but also by information illiteracy. Diversity is particularly important in India, which is a truly multilingual society. Only a relatively small percentage of Indians can read and write English. We believe that Indians should be able to use the internet in their own languages. We have as many as 22 official languages and 11 scripts. In this context, internationalized domain names assume importance. We are an open society, and as a democratic nation, we support the principles of openness in the internet domain. We need to focus on security aspects as well. The stakeholders in the internet need to do more to promote internet security. There is a greater need to exchange and make available data pertaining to incidents, as well as to technological solutions to resolve and prevent such incidents. We already have more than 200 million mobile users. We are now adding 7 million users every month. This makes us the fastest growing mobile market in the world. We hope that India would also be able to achieve similar growth in the internet arena. The third IGF would be held in New Delhi from December 8th to 11th, 2008. The IGF is an evolving process of continuity. We are sure that the fruitful discussion of this second IGF would set the tone for the evolving dialogue in the third IGF. Discussions on the five themes of this IGF would be continued in the New Delhi IGF meeting. This IGF, and in particular the Way Forward working session, would indicate the issues which are to be considered important. It is in the keeping of the spirit of the IGF philosophy of inclusiveness. The deliberations in New Delhi could perhaps also cover the universalization of the internet and implications for governance. Development could also be treated alongside the other themes so that attention could be paid to this dimension. We anticipate that the issues such as access challenges in rural areas and capacity building would be discussed in the third IGF. The security of internet resources and the need for cooperation among stakeholders and nations could be part of this agenda. The broad multi-stakeholder format would be followed. The discussion in the IGF would no doubt reflect the principles of multilateralism, democracy, and transparency of internet governance. It is an honor and privilege for us to welcome all the delegates and the participants to take part in the IGF 2008 at New Delhi. The weather would be lovely at that time of the year, and I hope that you would all be able to come to Delhi in December next year. I take this opportunity to thank Brazil for hosting this meeting of the Internet Governance Forum. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Singh. I am the next and the last speaker. So, tenho certeza de que a política está sendo reinventada aqui. Todos sabemos que os enormes desafios que nossa imaginação e inteligência acolheram diante da existência da internet significam hoje nada mais, nada menos do que repropor as esferas políticas de nossa sociedade contemporânea. Estamos restituindo as ideias que nortearam esse espaço de negociação social de valores, espaço que desde muito foi chamado de cidade ou república, nome que foi dado a essa coisa pública que é um bem comum e que deve ser o objetivo e a regra do convívio entre as pessoas, por mais diferentes que sejam suas culturas e valores, suas sociedades e suas dinâmicas econômicas. A internet é a arquitetura imaterial dessa nova sociedade mundial, sua infraestrutura simbólica que dá condições de um espaço mundial existir em sua plenitude. Ela é a realização desse tecido de cidades globais e de sítios locais que tramam o espaço da vida contemporânea. Encontramos na palavra governança, governo, um modo de significar a complexidade que as negociações e os processos de construção política necessitam para chegarmos aos acordos e consensos mínimos. Estamos aqui praticando, nesse ritual de aproximação e conhecimentos mútuos, o sentido que mora sob esse signo da política atual. Mas há também conflitos que são mais do que desentendimentos e desconhecimentos. São visões diferentes que precisam ser levadas em conta. Temos que ter enorme atenção a isso. Só nossa colaboração ativa e crítica é que poderá absorver as diferentes necessidades que são postas em jogo diante da nova era de comunicações e trocas. Nossa imaginação deve inventar marcos novos que permitam regular esses conflitos em proveito de todos e da instauração de um ambiente comum de cooperação. Quero dizer que nossa cooperação para afirmar políticas públicas nessa cúpula mundial que se desdobra na cidade do Rio de Janeiro tem como desafio reverter o quadro de assimetrias que está instaurado hoje. Vejo que nossa discussão avançará nesses dias que correm, dando mais um passo pelo percurso que nos levará a uma política pública global. Penso e tenho a convicção de que as novas tecnologias são as possibilidades infinitas que nossa civilização reconstruiu para o exercício de sua liberdade em novos padrões de relacionamentos e linguagens. Mas essa liberdade, que ganha padrões diferentes dos tradicionais, precisa estar acessível a todos, pois sem a liberdade de todos, cada um de nós é menos livre do que poderia ser. O Tratado da Diversidade Cultural que a Unesco estabeleceu é um importante instrumento de regulação que nos mostra caminhos para equações de direitos e deveres entre Estados, sociedades e setores privados. Estamos numa era em que o acesso de todos aos conhecimentos que a humanidade gerou e continua a gerar é a única condição para que tenhamos justiça e segurança. Já se forma entre nós a consciência de que a intensidade dos conflitos é cada vez maior, quanto mais aumenta o regime de privação a que populações e territórios são submetidos. A internet deve ser um território de todos, uma área de convivência pública e de exercício dessa nova cidadania. Há uma promessa que precisa ser cumprida e levada adiante por cada um de nós que está aqui hoje. Temos que fazer valer o espírito que se encontra por trás de cada palavra que define a sua existência. Não podemos deixar que os dizeres nossos esvaziem suas potências semânticas ou que virem apenas logos de aventuras empresariais ou objetos de negócios rentáveis. Precisamos ter uma economia viva que sustente valores e densidades simbólicas, uma verdadeira economia. Temos que poder navegar esse oceano e seus fluxos, tecer as redes e os enlaces que dinamizam nossa produção contemporânea. E essas palavras são apenas para lembrar a todos nós de que nossos discursos e nossas linguagens devem estar investidos desse desejo maior que nos move, que nos traz até aqui e que é nosso motivo de existência. Nossos possíveis mundos são construídos e semeados pelas nossas vozes que se encontram desde agora aqui. A internet é transnacional, não pode estar sob o controle de um país ou mesmo de alguns países. Precisamos de uma ecologia na rede, tanto quanto precisamos de uma ecologia no planeta. Para lidar com essas questões, precisamos talvez pensar em ampliar o mandato das Nações Unidas nesse campo. Precisamos, finalmente, estabelecer um pós-multi-stakeholder system, um novo multi-stakeholdismo. Muito obrigado.
The secretary will make some observations, some informations, and then we close the session.
Thank you, Chairman. Please note that the written program that you have received does not present the latest version, and please check on our website for the latest versions. There are some changes. This afternoon's session on critical internet resources begins at 3 o'clock and not 3:30, as was originally planned. 3 o'clock, critical internet resources in this room. The panelists are kindly requested to go now to the room Aranjuez immediately after this meeting to prepare for the session. I would also like to draw your attention. There is a meeting for parliamentarians from all countries who are present here for an interactive dialogue in the room Imperial at 1:30. And lastly, at 4 o'clock, there is a meeting with representatives of Portuguese-speaking countries in the room Queluz 1 meeting for Portuguese-speaking countries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll warmly welcome all of you in the city of Rio for this interesting and very important meeting. We are concluding our first session of, you know, speakers and lots of ideas about how internet will deal with the rights, the classical rights, and the new rights that we have face. Diversity, openness, access, security, all of those items, all of those themes have been discussed here and continue to be discussed during the new sessions. Thank you very much. Have a good break and profit the day in Rio and the next days in this very important meeting for the internet. Thank you very much.